Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, March 21st reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Two on Scottsdale Unified School District Board Push District-Level Cuts, by Tom Scanlon. At the suggestion that Scottsdale Unified School District save money by cutting assistant principals, two board members said, hold the horses. In June, the Scottsdale Unified School District Governing Board will pass a budget for the 2025-26 school year. District officials have raised some potentially big problems. Declining enrollment, which in turn impacts per-student funding, uncertainties of Proposition 123 and other state funding, and uncertainties in federal funding. Though a formal presentation of the preliminary budget is weeks away, several board members said they don't want to wait until the last minute and proposed areas for spending cuts. The March 4th board meeting included line items for budget discussions and discussed administrators' employment agreement for the 2024-25 school year. Looking back and ahead, in other words. Regarding the administrators' agreement, board member Amy Karniak complained, there was never communication or discussion about the staffing rubric addition or change within the board, nor have we gotten any real feedback from the assistant principals or principals to see how they feel this would affect them. SUSD's K-8 and middle schools currently each have one assistant principal. The agreement approved last year cuts many schools with enrollment under 450 to a half-time assistant principal. My concern, Carney said, is how we're going to handle all the discipline that our assistant principals are really in charge of. Fellow board member Corrine Warner backed up Carney, stressing SUSD should protect direct classroom spending and look at other areas for cuts. Saying she cannot get past the idea of cutting school personnel, she suggested doing away with a contract for a district council. Doubling down on that, Warner pitched in, I think it is important that we're looking at district cuts before we look at reducing school staff. I would like to see cuts made from the district level, Warner emphasized. Salaries for district positions, she noted, are often nearly twice as much as teachers are paid. Carney added, it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary, so we need to prepare a budget based on cuts to district-level staff and not those working with our students each day on our school sites. In a follow-up email to the Progress, Carney stated, as our schools face difficult budget cuts due to declining enrollment, the board must ensure that every dollar is prioritized for student success. She said she wants to eliminate a combined $46,000 annually for lobbying and legislative advocacy. Redirecting these funds to our school sites, Carney continued, ensures that our limited resources are spent where they matter most, directly supporting students, teachers, and classrooms. The next SUSD board meeting, originally scheduled for April 8th, is 6 p.m. April 1st at Coronado High School. That will be followed by an April 21st meeting and a governing board retreat to be scheduled. And that article is titled, Two on SUSD Board Push District Level Cuts. Scottsdale Utility Rates Likely to Rise, by Tom Scanlon. This is not a recording. Scottsdale department heads, citing cost increases, are asking for increases in water and other rates. Last year, Scottsdale residents saw their water rates increase by 6.3% and sewer rates go up to 8%. In 2023, increases were 4.2% for water and 5.8% for sewer. If City Council approves the proposed rates, it would be the sixth consecutive year or of water and sewer increases. Though current water rates are locked in through October, many rates and fees likely could be on the increase as early as July 1st. Mayor Lisa Borowski and the six council representatives heard a no-action March 4th presentation on the City Council's proposed fiscal year 2025-26 rates and fees. Council will not take formal action on accepting or rejecting the new rates until May 20th. Preliminary rate increases were presented by Scott Sillin, a newly hired budget director. Interim Water Resources Director Kevin Rose, and other department heads. The rationale for multiple increases residents are being asked to pay, increased personnel costs, and other factors. Rose outlined a 4.5% water fee increase and 6% sewer fee increase. He cited significant increases over the last 3 years in raw water, 13%, personnel, 11%, electricity, 8%, and chemicals, 6%. According to a slideshow showing other cities, a Scottsdale home using 16,000 gallons of water and discharging 11,000 gallons of sewage would pay $124.58, a $5.91 increase. Compared to its neighbors, Scottsdale's average water sewer bill is on the lower end, with Chandler by far the cheapest at $71.32 and Gilbert the most expensive at $174.03. The proposed increase would make Scottsdale slightly more expensive for water sewer than Tempe at $121.03. Peoria, Phoenix, Glendale, and Mesa would all remain more expensive than Scottsdale. For garbage pickup, most Scottsdale homes pay $30.27, with a proposed increase to $31.78. The proposed residential garbage increase has Scottsdale more expensive than Chandler, lowest at around $19.86. Peoria, Gilbert, and Glendale, but cheaper than Tempe, Mesa, and Phoenix, the most expensive in the valley, at $36.59. Other various rate fee changes proposed include a senior excursion fee bump to $20. Seniors currently do not have to pay for outings. On the back end, drop-in fees for ping pong players are proposed to decrease from $2 to free. And that article was titled, Scottsdale Utility Rates Likely to Rise. More closures for Loop 101 widening by Progress News staff. The widening on a key stretch of the Loop 101, a two-year project that began in early 2024, continues. That means more closures of off-ramps and nearby roads. According to the Arizona Department of Transportation, Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard will be closed at Loop 101 from 9 p.m. Friday, March 21st until 5 a.m. March 24th. Detours include eastbound Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard. Drivers may consider using the southbound Loop 101 frontage road to eastbound Rain Tree Drive, to the northbound Loop 101 frontage road to access Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard east of the closure. Westbound Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard drivers may consider using northbound Loop 101 frontage road to westbound Bell Road, to the southbound Loop 101 frontage road to access Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard west of the closure. Other closures continue. The northbound Loop 101 on-ramp at Cactus Road closure continues through March. Drivers might consider using eastbound Cactus Road to northbound 94th Street, to westbound Rain Tree Drive or westbound Cactus Road, to northbound Hayden Road to eastbound Rain Tree Drive to access northbound Loop 101. The northbound Loop 101 off-ramp at Rain Tree Drive is closed through April. ADOT, in partnership with the City of Scottsdale, is widening Loop 101 between Princess Drive and Pima Road and Shea Boulevard by one general-purpose lane in each direction and modifying existing interchanges. Project elements include widening Loop 101 between Princess Drive, Pima Road, and Shea Boulevard, adding a third southbound left-turn lane at Princess Drive, Pima Road interchange, converting Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard interchange into a diamond configuration, adding right turn lanes at Rain Tree Drive and Shea Boulevard, updating sidewalks to make them ADA compliant, and upgrading freeway and ramp lighting. And that article was titled, More Closures for Loop 101 Widening. Second, Old Town Garage Sales Through Council by Tom Scanlon. No drama on this one. After public protest and behind-the-scenes maneuvering over an expanded parking garage in Old Town, a second one just blocks away sailed without a ripple of opposition. On March 4th, Scottsdale City Council was asked by city staff to approve a resolution authorizing $1.4 million pre-construction contract with Mulemang Construction for a parking structure in the northeast quadrant of Old Town. After John Rosenberg spoke in support of the Entertainment District Garage, those who had popcorn ready for a wild debate were disappointed. Mayor Lisa Borowski and the 6 council members approved the second Old Town Garages unanimously. A pre-construction contract for the other Old Town Garage at First Street and Brown Avenue lot called the Corral was approved February 11th over Borowski's intense objections. It was later revealed that in the weeks leading up to the vote, Borowski and David Hovey Jr., the president of Optima, who donated to Borowski after her election win, pitched an alternate Optima design for the Corral Garage. Eternal optimist. Meanwhile, meeting with a small group at the Via Linda Senior Center March 5th, Borowski said the First and Brown parking lot was not a done deal, even though a pre-construction contract was approved by a 6-1 vote, with Borowski the lone opposition. At the Senior Center meeting, some asked if the Corral Garage contract with Chase Building Team is a done deal. "Well, you're not hearing that from me, Borowski answered. "I'm an eternal optimist. So I think the will of the people is, as it turns out, incredibly powerful, right?" She mentioned a dog park petition, perhaps dropping a hint for those who share her view. "The point being that my colleagues should hear from you all," Borowski said. "I think they should hear from everyone that's not happy with the outcome. And I think I haven't talked to one person that isn't happy with the outcome. Not one." She said she met with the owner of Chase Building Team, Barry Chase, a good friend of mine. "I'm not trying to undo their contract," Borowski said. "I want them to have a more, you know, welcoming contract with a parking garage in a different location. I said bigger contract, right? You can do better." Several have raised concerns about the fate of the farmers market held most Saturdays, October through June, at the Corral parking lot. At the Senior Center meeting, Jenny Rizzo said she was a vendor at the farmers market, and all the vendors right now are really worried. "We don't know if there's going to be a market at all next year." Borowski told Rizzo, "You have my word that I will do everything to work with your group to find a suitable location." The issue was discussed last year during extensive discussions about Old Town parking over several meetings. After heated debates over whether to put garages at First and Brown or in their entertainment district, council decided on both, to the tune of roughly $30 million. On July 1st, then-Councilwoman Tammy Caputi somewhat reluctantly agreed to the both plan after vehemently arguing against the need for more parking around the Corral at a previous meeting. But Caputi warned, "I also want to remind people, we are moving the farmers market, so for whatever it's worth, that will have to go somewhere else, and that's something to think about." Back to the beginning. Borowski will lead her 7th City Council meeting at 5 p.m. Tuesday, March 18th. One of the few items on the agenda? Old Town Scottsdale parking presentation. According to the agenda description, this will be a presentation and discussion regarding historical information on parking in Old Town Scottsdale and the 2019 bond election. This item is to focus only on the historical access of parking in the Old Town area. With City Engineer Allison Timke leading the meeting, the agenda noted, "This item is for presentation and discussion only, and no action will be taken." It also carries a note, "This item was added to the March 18, 2025 City Council meeting agenda at the request of 4 or more members of the City Council." Asked who requested the item and what the vote tally was about this by the progress, City Clerk Ben Lane answered, "Councilman Graham requested the poll and a consensus was reached among 4 or more council members to place the item on the agenda. As polls are verbal and informal, individual responses are not recorded." Stressing this is a non-action item, Graham told the Progress, "I want to go back to why we decided to choose the Corral. It's offering residents a review of the information used by the council to select the Corral site." And that article was titled "Second Old Town Garage Sales Through Council." Crews Thinning Fire Dangers in Scottsdale by Tom Scanlon. Cruising the main arteries and side streets of North Scottsdale, attentive drivers note caution, fire crew ahead signs. That's roadside shorthand. A more detailed, albeit distracting, sign would be caution, wildland fire mitigation clearing non-native growth to reduce crown fire potential ahead. As Scottsdale Fire Chief Tom Shannon has noted, the best way to fight a fire is before it starts. While Shannon's administration works with homeowner associations and individuals about making their communities firewise by clearing brush or other fire fuels from their property, much of what can be done to make wildfires rampage like drunken sailors is on city property. With that in mind, rather than running around with fire hoses, crews armed with chainsaws and branch trimmers are working the streets of Scottsdale. Meet the Beretta Wildland Crew, a team of 10 sawers, clippers, trimmers, chippers, and blowers. They are dashing around North Scottsdale like a tactical scout and assault team behind enemy lines. They are very efficient as they move, Dave Ramirez said, sporting a knowing grin. When Ramirez retired as the Tonto National Forest Fire Chief, Shannon quickly snagged him to become Scottsdale's Fire Community Wildfire Mitigation Coordinator. He put me to work, Ramirez said. With all these big fires we're having, Shannon knew that not only was the preserve threatened, but that our communities were. According to a recent presentation by Shannon, Scottsdale hit a 5-year high for brush fires in 2024, nearly doubling the previous year's total. As Mayor Lisa Borowski put it in her February 26 State of the City presentation, the tragedy in LA reminds us that here in Scottsdale, we've got big exposure in North Scottsdale. In 2024, Shannon's crews responded to 72 brush fires, by far the most in the last 6 years. Few people know wildfires as well as Ramirez. As the U.S. Forest Service, Tonto, noted when he received a Hometown Heroes Award in 2020, David Ramirez has been a division chief for the Tonto National Forest since 2011. Dave attended the University of Montana, where he received degrees in finance and business administration. He also completed technical fire management program through Colorado State University in 2003. Ramirez started fighting and mitigating wildfires in 1987 on the Lolo National Forest in Missoula, Montana. If fire mitigation is behind the scenes work, Ramirez went one level deeper, knowing clearing work may not be rocket science, but it isn't cheap. I started putting in for grants, he said, and we've probably gotten to close to $2 million in grant dollars. Ramirez stood on the south side of Westland Avenue off Scottsdale Road, where his crew had just trimmed and cleared the city property off the road and pointed to the other side. What many call brush, he calls fuel. You see the situation here, he said, where you have some dead fuels laying over fences, and you can see all the dead limbs on the trees, and you have that dense undergrowth. Too much fuel, he said with a grimace. When you have a fire that goes through there, it goes through the brush, and then it climbs up into the crowns of the trees. And when it does that, not only does it kill a tree, but it throws embers everywhere. And if you have any kind of wind, even with a roadway like this, it would not stop the fire. Wildfires spreading at astonishing speeds are becoming an annual thing in North Scottsdale. The Diamond and Gate fires, which ignited less than a mile from each other, burned thousands of acres in wildland in North Scottsdale over the last 2 years. Hours after the Gate fire forced evacuations in northeast Scottsdale last September, investigators determined the fire was caused by work at a residential construction site. No such responsible party has been identified by a state investigator of the 2023's Diamond Fire, which also started in Story Rock, less than a mile from the Gate Fire. As Shannon told City Council 6 weeks ago, as the Los Angeles fires were still smoldering, our goal is to reduce for the potential of the fire to start. Enter Ramirez and Company. The wildland manager points to an attractive tree. Its name means green pole, or green stick in Spanish. That fires devour like famished snackers on bag of chips. Palo Verde, these are. They're everywhere, right? Ramirez said, and they can't handle fire. They've got real thin bark, and they've never evolved with fire. This is one of the few ecosystems that we have in the country that is not fire adapted. Before the city started putting up multi-home developments, there were never large-scale fires in the Sonoran Desert, Ramirez said. This is all invasive grass and weeds. That's why we have these huge catastrophic fires. Add in even more development every year, more people, more fuel, right next to the vast acres of untouched land in the preserves? Dave Ramirez can use all sorts of ecology fire science lingo to describe the human-nature interface of North Scottsdale. Or he can put it into words even a child can understand. We've got a heck of a problem. And that article is titled, Crews Thinning Fire Dangers in Scottsdale. Now for some Paradise Valley news from the Paradise Valley Independent. Paradise Valley Faces Future Without Photo Radar by Janet Perez. Bills calling for a statewide ban on photo radar enforcement and putting the question to voters have cleared the Senate and are now primed for a vote in the House in a blow to Paradise Valley. The town is against both bills, citing that photo radar enforcement is needed to keep Paradise Valley roads safe and should be a decision left to individual cities and towns. SB 1019, which calls for the statewide ban, was passed on a 16-13 vote in the Senate on February 20th. If it passes in the House, there is a chance Governor Katie Hobbs will veto the bill, as she did an identical one last year. But even if SB 1019 is vetoed, the town faces a bigger threat with SCR 1002, which would put the question of whether to ban photo radar enforcement across the state on the November 2026 ballot. SCR 1002 also passed the Senate on a 16-13 vote on March 5th. Both bills were sponsored by Senator Wendy Rogers, Republican of Flagstaff. On March 12th, HB 1019 passed the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, and SRC 1002 was passed by the same committee on March 19th. Speaking before the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure on March 12th, Paradise Valley Mayor Mark Stanton said he and the town council support giving individual municipalities the right to decide whether to use photo radar. Paradise Valley is a small community nestled right between Phoenix and Scottsdale. We have a little bit north of 12,000 residents, but we are a remarkably well-visited community with a cut-through traffic along Lincoln Drive and Tatum Boulevard, Stanton told the committee. We have seen up to 24 or 25 million cars a year go through there, and we were one of the first municipalities to adopt photo radar, and very successfully have found it to be a great traffic enforcement tool. Along with Paradise Valley, Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Tempe, and Gilbert now use photo radar enforcement. Photo radar is controversial, with those opposed to it, such as Rogers, arguing that it is unconstitutional and serves merely as a cash cow. Stanton disagrees with this stance. At the March 12th House Committee hearing, Paradise Valley Police Commander Kelly Ingram emphasized safety. In Tucson, in 2016, they passed a ban on photo enforcement. Within that first year, there was a 20% increase in fatalities in the city of Tucson. Since then, over these last 8 to 10 years, there has been a 146% increase in fatal crashes in Tucson, Ingram told the committee. If this bill passes, more people will die. It's not a prediction, unfortunately. It's the sobering truth based on the real data of our own citizens. Representatives of the Mesa and Phoenix Police Departments also spoke against both bills at the March 12th House Committee hearings. During the Paradise Valley Town Council's March 13th study session, before its regular meeting, Stanton expressed his frustration with some of the lines of questioning coming from the House Committee. There were many questions that were far and beyond what the bill is actually intended to do, he said. At one point, one of the representatives asked me if there were any parts of the equipment that were manufactured in China. It was really going all over the board. One House Committee member brought up that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is cautioning that photo radar cameras could be used by China to spy on the American citizens. Members of the committee also asked how often the cameras were calibrated and how far Paradise Valley police have traveled to hand out photo radar citations. They also asked for salary and benefit information about Paradise Valley Police. During the March 13th study session, Council Member Julie Pace asked if the committee members understood the safety issues involved with cut-through traffic. Did they understand And was there any point of discussion on 80% of 90% of our driveways being all residential? It's a unique community that way, Pace said. Was there any feedback on the cross-through traffic? And how do you do behavior modification? Or is it just totally not recognized yet, or is it not relevant to them? Douglas Cole, the Chief Operating Officer of the lobbying and public relations firm High Ground, which is representing the town at the legislature, responded that the committee seemed to be having trouble grasping that we have 24 million cars that go through the town a year, and I think that was a figure they were really having trouble believing. Cole emphasized that SCR 1002 was the more concerning bill for Paradise Valley, as it calls for the same statewide photo radar ban, which would bypass the governor and go directly to voters. A voter in Eloy, Arizona, would be deciding whether or not our town up here in Maricopa County can use this technology. And that article was titled, Paradise Valley Faces Future Without Photo Radar. New language to Yes in God's Backyard, Bill Helps Paradise Valley, by Philip Heidman. A proposed bill that would allow active churches and other religious institutions to build affordable housing on their land has received new language that could benefit Paradise Valley, which prides itself on single-family, one-acre lot standards. House Bill 2191, also known as the Yes in God's Backyard Bill, is on the precipice of moving to the Senate for consideration. Although Paradise Valley councilors oppose the bill, they say the language addition is not a bad thing. There are 13 houses of worship in the town of Paradise Valley. High Ground CEO Doug Cole said the bill was recently broadly amended to apply to religious institutions in an area that are zoned, as of January 1, 2025, for single-family residential use. More amendments to the bill are expected, and it will have at least another read in the House of Representatives before it can move to the Senate. We came up with some language that protects the town, so that is big, big progress, he said. Arizona is in a housing crisis, with rents exploding 72% between 2010 and 2022, according to an ASU study released last year. Representative David Livingston, Republican of Peoria, who co-authored the bill, said during an appropriations meeting he is fighting to help those priced out of the housing market right now. And that is all the time we have left for that article, which is titled New Language to Yes in God's Backyard Bill Helps Paradise Valley. You've been listening to the East Valley News featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. Did you know that all your favorite programming can be heard on demand at sunsounds.org? I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. Have a great rest of your day.